You have your Bibles turned to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading our text verse there, and then we'll jump over and read some verses in chapter 6. I want to continue the message this morning on redeeming the time. And I want to take the thought of redeeming our time and our warfare. We're in a battle this morning, whether people realize it or not. And it's a spiritual battle. And things are not going to probably get easier as we go on through this life. But I'm glad that there's victory for the believer. I'm glad there's victory for the Christian this morning if we know how to meet our foe and how to confront him. But the Bible says, if you will, stand for just one more time. If you're able, if you're not, you just sit there. It'll be fine. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then in verse chapter 6 and beginning verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then I'm going to stop right there. We'll read the rest of it the next time we begin this in this series. But I'm going to preach from just first two or three verses this morning. They're verses 10 through 12. On redeeming the time in our warfare. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have to come and gather this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, you know the hearts of each and every individual that's here this morning, the burdens that they're bearing. Lord, the things that they're facing in their life. Lord, I pray that you'll meet those needs. Be with those that are sick, Lord, this morning. Again, I pray. Lord, be with those that's listening by way of internet. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them and bless them this morning, that they might get some help by the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the songs that's already been sung. Lord, have your way in the remainder of the service, and we'll be careful to praise you. If there's one here lost today that don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they'll take that step and they'll come to you and receive you as their Savior. Lord, thank you for those that you saved yesterday there at the youth meeting. Lord, I pray that you'll help them. Lord, I know that they've already woke up this morning and realized, Lord, that there is a battle raging. Lord, and I pray that you'll give them grace and give them direction, Lord, in their life. Lord, we love you and thank you again for the privilege to be here. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. We've preached for the last several weeks on redeeming the time. For the days are evil, and you'd have to admit that we are living in evil days. We're living in complicated days today, far as the walk for the believer. And we looked at several thoughts about redeeming our time. And as we continue our thought on redeeming time, I hope and pray that we won't only sit and hear the message, but we'll act upon what God's trying to convey to us through preaching. We've been focusing on our walk, our ways, and the will of God. And I want to change the focus this morning to redeeming the time in our warfare. Our enemy this morning is unseen but not unbeatable. Our enemy is powerful but not more powerful. Our enemy is real. He's subtle. He's observant. He's a master at deception. He's darkness. He's destructive. He's like a lion. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the god of this world. He's transformed into an angel of light. He's the enemy of our souls. He's the devil, and he's out to get you this morning. He's your enemy, and Paul is instructing the Ephesians and us how to deal with the devil. We want to deal this morning with this thought on redeeming the time in our warfare. And we are in a battle today. The devil is against God. He's against anything that has to do with God. I believe that there's a full-blown attack on the church and God's people today, those that are holding to the truth. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's a lot of people in bondage to religion this morning, but I'm glad that we can know the truth, that we got a King James Bible that we can read, that we can study, that we can go to the house of God, we can get encouraged, we can get preaching today, and we realize that the devil's after us, and he's on attack with the people of God. There's more confusion, I believe, this morning than there's ever been. If you look on the television, Brother Keith was teaching there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in Sunday school this morning. It talked about those creepers, those that creep into houses and lead away captives, silly women laden with sins. You know, and there's a lot of creeping going on across this land today. I believe that's talking about ecclesiastical separation, that form of godliness, denying the power thereof. It said, from such turn away. And we're seeing a lot of creepers today. All these televangelists and all this religion that's on television, they creep right into houses. They people that ain't got nothing better to do, they sit down and watch religious programs all day long. They're getting duped by the devil through religion today because they don't know their Bibles. And I'm glad that we can know our Bibles and we can know the real thing. They tell me that they teach those tellers at the bank not to know what counterfeit is, but to know what real money is. And I give out a $100 bill every once in a while, and I see them get a little marker, and they'll mark that thing. And I keep saying, I need to get me a marker, because as much as people gives me money sometime paying for their work, they could slide me a counterfeit $100 bill. And can I say this morning, there's a lot of people have been slipped a counterfeit religion today. They're preaching a Jesus that's not the Jesus of this Bible today. They're preaching a Jesus without holiness this morning. And we're in warfare. And we need to know how to deal with the devil. What are we going to do in the upcoming days of our life? In this year that we've just begun, we've got into March here. We're going to face more, I believe, than we've ever have as God's people. Things aren't going to get better, and I'm not a prophet of doom, but we need to redeem the time, I believe, that's set before us in our warfare. The word here, I've done mentioned this on three occasions. This will be the third occasion, I believe, in preaching this series. The word here, rendered redeeming, means to purchase, to buy up from possession or power of anyone, and then to redeem, to set free us from service or bondage. Here, in this passage of Scripture, it means to rescue or recover our time from waste, to improve it for great and important purposes. The word here used is more general in its meaning. The other is strictly appropriated to a ransom. This distinction is not observable here. However, in the word here used is employed in the proper sense of redeem. It occurs in the New Testament only in this place and in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, and Galatians 4 verse 5, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16, and the companion passage to this that I've just read in Colossians chapter 4 verse 5, which probably means to purchase, to buy up, and then to purchase anyone to redeem or to set free. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Colossians there, he said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And I want to preach on redeeming the time this morning in our warfare. God being our helper, we need to know how to face our adversary, the devil. And we will cover some more in the weeks to come. We may take a week off here the next week after next for Resurrection Sunday. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. We're going to have a sunrise service. And then we're going to hang around, have breakfast, and we're going to come up for a regular worship service that morning. And we're looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to honor and to recognize the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm glad He didn't stay dead, aren't you? Hey, I'm glad that He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And this morning, He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for you and I. So, with all that said, I want to preach just a little bit on the redeeming the time in our warfare this morning. We'll look at the instruction that the apostle gives here in verses 10 through 18, but we'll cover the first three verses here, Lord being our helper. We see the here, verse 10, we see the conclusion of what's been said here. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So we see Paul has laid down some great truths in the book of Ephesians. Brother Darrell taught the book of Ephesians for several weeks there in Sunday school, did a great job. I tell you, I love the book of Ephesians. I love all the Bible, don't you? I don't think there's one part that's any more important than any other, but we know that Paul laid down a lot of great truths here in the book of Ephesians. The first part of it there in the first verse 1 and 2 in chapter 1, we see the apostles' greeting. Then we see the positional there that he deals with, the believers standing in Christ and in the heavenlies through pure grace, chapter 1, verse 3 through 3, 21. And then he deals with walk and service, chapter 4, 1 through 5, 17. And then the walk and the warfare of the Spirit-filled believer in chapter 5, 8, verse 8 through 6:24. So we see Paul always deals with the doctrinal portion of books usually when he begins to write, and then about halfway through he'll change and gear up to the practical part for you and I, how we're to live. And he's instructing these Ephesian believers of their walk and their service for God, and he deals with their positional part, what they are in Christ and through grace, but then he always gives that practical part. I'm glad that there is a practical part of Scripture, that there is that applicable part to you and I, that we'll know how to live the Christian life. We know that the Apostle Paul, we take the doctrines for the church from the Apostle Paul's writings. And we see here, as he begins right here in verse 10 in chapter 6, he said, finally, what he's doing, he's drawing a conclusion to what he's already told them about how to live their lives, and there how they ought to submit to one another, beginning in chapter 5. Chapter 5 begins with verse 1, said, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." That word followers I mentioned the other Sunday is an imitator. It's be like God our Father. And we get the instructions of how to live our life and how to conduct our life. And I've said many times, if we'll follow the instructions of the Bible, we'll stay out of trouble in our personal lives a lot of times. That's why it's so important to get kids and young people under good preaching where they can receive instruction. I appreciate Brother Townsend yesterday. He gave us some truths that that will help us in our life. And he used some of the illustrations of his own life, how God used that to in his marriage and when he first got married, and his well, how it got cluttered up and got dirtied. And, you know, we find these truths of how to deal with these things in the Word of God. So that's what Paul does here. He gives them the conclusion. Finally, in light of what's been said, he said, be strong in the Lord. You know why so many people are failing today? They're trying to be strong in their own power. Can I say that you'll never live the Christian life in your own power? I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'll get saved when I get to the point where I think I can live it. Well, friend, you'll never get to that place where you can live the Christian life. Paul said over there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I love this passage, he said, I've crucified with Christ the life which I now live, therefore I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We've got to realize we can't live the Christian life. We've got to let Christ live the Christian life through us and in us. And if we'll yield ourselves to Him, we'll pay attention to what the Word of God says, and if we'll be strong in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, a life, then we will be able to face the things that's going to come our way. These kids are going to be faced with things that we weren't never faced with as teenagers. We were faced with many things. A lot of things I think a lot of times of my life, and some of the things that I went through as a teenager, and you know, and I can't imagine what some of these kids are going through today. The peer pressures. They was peer pressures when I was a teenager. There's still peer pressures in my life. Did you know that? You as an adult, you're still facing peer pressures. You're always going to have peer pressures in your life. Don't matter if you get 70, 80, or even 90 years old. There's always peer pressures to try to turn you and to try to get you a lot more like the world. No one wants to be called a fanatic today. They want to be like everyone else. Let me tell you, you can't be like everyone else and be like Christ. You can't be like everyone else and live the Christian life and have that victorious Christian living in your life. It ought to be the desire of every child of God in this house this morning to be like what Paul said there in chapter 5. He said, be not drunk with wine, where is it said, but be filled with the Spirit. The only way that you're going to have victory in this life, in our warfare that we're facing today, is to be filled with the Spirit of God. You can't walk after the flesh and have victory in your life. That's why so many people fall by the wayside. You start preaching like we preach around here, and people's not used to that, and they don't believe what you're saying, and they don't read their Bibles, and the next thing you know, they've departed and they've gone away. Hey, they want to go somewhere where they can feel good about themselves instead of realizing what they're made of. I mean, this flesh is just rotten to the core. There's no good in none of us except that which dwells in us, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And I keep referring to what Brother Keith was preaching this morning. There's nothing holy within us. Isaiah said, our righteousness is filthy rags. But Peter said, be ye holy, where he took that passage over there in Leviticus. Be ye holy, the Lord said, as I am holy. So we know that we can be holy. If we yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been imputed His righteousness to our life. And when God looks at us, He don't see us, He sees His Son. He sees the blood of His dear Son, and He sees the righteousness of His Son that He's clothed us with. Adam and Eve tried to cover up their nakedness with their self-righteousness. They put on fig leaves when they sinned there in the Garden of Eden. But we know today that if we've been clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're walking in light as He is in the light, then we know that we can live a holy life. It's possible to be holy. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It said, therefore the world knoweth us not. Let me get over here and read it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3, listen to this. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Did you know there's an element of purifying yourself? If you're going to walk with Jesus, there are just some things you're going to have to abstain from. You're going to have to stay away from. You say, what's that got to do with what you're preaching on a redeeming time of warfare? Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You can't do that outside of being strong in God. Within yourself, you want to walk after the flesh. How you know, preacher? Because I'm made of the same thing you are. It's a daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say the devil has been defying the people of God from the very beginning? I refer back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we see Goliath in the valley of Elah there, where the armies of God was on one side of the valley and the Philistines on the other side, and this big giant of a man, he comes out there and he said, I defy the armies of the living God. I believe Goliath is a type of the devil, and he was defying the people of God at that time. And can I say he's still defying them today? And I believe we're living in the last days. Even Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans there, he's verse chapter 13, he said, in that knowing the time, that it's high time that we'll wake out of our sleep. He said, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. I believe as Paul thought he was living in the last days and that there was a battle being fought in the spiritual lives of individuals, I believe how much more today we should believe that as we look around and we see everything that's going on. Boy, I've never seen so much wickedness in my life. Did you know within a mile and a half of my house there was a murder last week? A taxi cab driver? Y'all probably heard about that, didn't you? Well, it was a mile and a half from my house. Monday night when I was coming to meet the men to go down to Covington, I come around the road up there and I was talking to Debbie and I said, there's a taxi driver got here at the Peak Road goes to the right and Barrett Road goes on around the left. I said, I guess he couldn't decide which way to go, and he just split the difference. Well, come find out that man had gotten killed. And I figure, I don't know what happened, but I figure he was trying to shake him. God, he probably knew they was fixing to kill him. He come around that curve, and he just probably left the road trying to get away, you know. And they were probably in the car. I don't know all that, but I just put two together what it looked like with me. And they took that man's life within a mile and a half of my house. There was a young lady abducted just a half a mile from my house just a little while back. A young man in our community abducted her. And that's just in my neighborhood. What about the whole place that we're living in Hall County, all the wickedness and all the evil things that's going on? I'm going to tell you, business is picking up around, and I believe we're living in the last days. And if there's ever been a time that we need to redeem the time in our warfare, it's in this day and hour that we're living in. We're in a spiritual battle, whether you realize it or not. Why do you think there's so many churches popped up all over the place? There's churches on every corner. There's any kind and every kind of church that you want to go to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 again. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And we're seeing that today. Where the Bible don't much matter anymore is what we think about it. We're going to build our own religion. We're going to build our own doctrines. You can make the Bible say anything you want to. That's why so many people believe they can lose their salvation. They take isolated passages of Scripture and they'll build a doctrine out of that. And eternal security is one of the most corrupted passages that there's in the Bible. Why anybody wants to think they can lose their salvation beyond me? I'm like the Apostle Paul. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad that Bible's right. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You want to make it in Christian life? You want to have victory? Be strong in the Lord. Have a relationship with Him. Read that Bible every day. Hey, be sure what you're listening to. If you can't handle commentaries and you can't rightly divide it, you know, don't read them. There's some of these guys you ought not even read after. All this bunch is preaching this health and wealth gospel. Well, it's funny to me that the Apostle Paul, back in his days, he said, yea, and all that live godly in this present world shall suffer persecution. Everything not going to always be hunky-dory in the Christian life, but I'm going to tell you, it'll be good. I'd rather be a Christian than anything I know of. Paul said over there in the book of Hebrews, said there's pleasure in sin for a season. You might think you're having a good time, but if you're saved, if you're born again, you're not going to get away with it. There's a reckoning day somewhere, sometime in this life. I'm glad that when Jesus died on the cross, He judged our sin in His body. The Bible said, God hath made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. So He took our place. He took our sins. I'm glad I'll never have to stand before Him for sin. Now I'm going to have to stand at judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to have to give account for my stewardship and how I handled the things of God. But Brother Allen, I'm not going to have to stand before Him for sin. When I stand at the Bema seat, I'm going to stand there to receive rewards to determine my place in the millennial kingdom. Some people believe you're going to be judged for some sins. I don't believe that. I believe Jesus judged my sins. It took me a long time to get a hold of that, but I got a hold of it, and I'm glad, hey, that my sins are gone. Now, my relationship can be hindered because of sin, but I'm going to pay for that sin, Brother Melvin, here in this life. That's why you see people having so much trouble sometimes. They're paying for their sins. Sure. Sure. So we see here that the Apostle Paul, he said, the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives, he says the conclusion here of what's been said in verse 10 is in light of everything he's already instructed the people to do. We see not only the conclusion of what's been said, but we see the people he was addressing there in verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren. He's talking to saved people here. He's talking to people that's been born again. He wasn't talking to the lost folks right here. But he's talking to people that have been born again. My brethren, Paul is talking here to save people. Here he knew what they were going to be up against. And you can look at the life of Paul and see that he knew what they would face and how they were going to be able to deal with it because of what he had already been through. And friend, today you're going to face some of these things. And we're in a spiritual warfare and we need to know what to do. So we see the people he was addressing, the conclusion of what's been said, but we see what he said also about know the strength that is needed. We need to be strong in the Lord this morning. If I could encourage you young people anything today, be strong in the Lord. Don't depend upon your strength. Don't depend on what you can do. Depend on what God has already done in you and let Him live and accomplish what He sees fit to do in your life. You don't have to go around with a little flag that says, I'm a Christian. You just live and let Christ live in you at school. You be that witness. You do what's right and people will see Christ in you. So we see the instruction that he gives. We see the armor that we're to take. Actually, that point was the ability they need. The ability they need. They need God's ability. They need God's power. Then we see the armor that we're to take there in verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God. You know, soldiers that go out into war, when David went out to fight the giant, you know, he tried to put on Saul's. I've looked at that a lot of times, and I thought, I bet that was a funny sight. He put, you know, Saul was a head and shoulder above every other man of Israel. He was a big man. And David put on all that armor, and he was walking around out there. He was stomping around. And he finally put them off. He said, I can't go out with these. I've not proved them. In essence, what he said, these things are too big for me. And the Bible said he went out with his staff, his scrip, his sling. And he went out against that giant with the armor that he knew that he had already proved over there on the backside of the desert while he was looking after his father's sheep. He done killed a lion. He done grabbed that lion by the beard and smote him. He done killed that bear that came after the sheep. And he knew what armor he needed. He needed the armor of God. Could you imagine David running up against that 9-foot-9-inch tall giant? If I got my figures right, I think he was 9 foot 9 inches. No, David, he began to... He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Can I say that we can still say that today? But we better say it with the right attitude. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? And I believe he began to run. He began to sling that sling around, and then he let it go. And he had that old giant right between the eyes. Brother Willard used to say this. He said, somebody said, you think that giant had, you know, like a mental problem or something? Or he said, you think that giant had a problem? He said, yeah, he had a little old rock about that big around between his eyes. When he hit that giant, he fell. He run, jumped on him, took his sword, cut his head off. This is what always amazed me, Brother Melvin. I believe he, I wonder what he looked like. They said he had that head of that giant. And he went before Saul. I bet he was looking pretty wild-eyed, don't you? Hey, he done had a victory over the devil that was defying the armies of God. I bet he looked, that little fella, I bet he looked funny with the big old head of that. Daddy said when he was in the Philippines, he had a picture one time of these natives that was there in the Philippines. I forget what he called them, but they had the head of this Japanese. And they had a picture of that head, and he lost the picture. He didn't get to bring it back. But, you know, I thought about David, them little old Filipino or them little old natives there. They weren't Filipino, but they had the head of that Japanese soldier. And they had their picture. They took his picture with him. I can imagine what David looked like when he had the head of Goliath that was defying the armies of God. Can I say the devil's raging today? But I'm glad that there's victory if we'll put on the whole armor of God. He gives us instructions of what all that armor is right here. He don't want us to have part of it on. He wants us to have it all on. Somebody said there wasn't no armor for the back because there was no place for retreat in the life of a believer. I don't know. It don't say nothing about no armor for the back. But I know what it tells us about. It tells us what we are to put on, how we are to face the enemy. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what we're to do, there we're to put on the whole armor of God. How we're to be clothed, we're to put on the whole armor of God. Why we're to put it on? That we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word able is having physical power, sufficient, having competent power or strength, bodily or mental, as a man able to perform military service. A child is not able to reason to abstract subject. Hey, let me say, we're to have the spiritual power to face the devil. He said that you may be able. We're able this morning. There's no reason for any Christian or believer to be defeated this morning, because God has already given us everything that we need to equip us that we can face the devil and his power. That word wiles, that's the methods, a trick or stratagem, a practice for ensnaring or deception, a sly, insidious artifice. And he said that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, we can know his tricks. We can know his strategy. The devil's, he's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He don't know everything. He only knows what you tell him and what he sees. He's observing. He's looking at your life. He knows that you're weak in what areas you're weak in. Well, when you prove those things, when you go on and do things that you know you shouldn't do and get involved in things that you shouldn't get involved with, he knows what your weaknesses is. And just like a roaring lion, he's looking for the weak ones to pounce upon. I've watched the documentaries of the lions as they travel and they stalk the wildebeest there in the African jungles as they the dry times come along and the water holes get dry, and those wildebeest, some of them begin to weaken, and those lions, they look for that weak one that begins to lag behind, and they get one separated, and then they'll work together and they'll pounce upon him and they'll bring down their prey. That's the same way the devil is. He's like a roaring lion. He's looking. He's watching. He knows the areas of weakness that you have. He knows your areas of strength if he watches you long enough. I think Brother Willard used to say, don't pray everything out loud. The devil may be watching you sometimes. God, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere. The devil's not like that. He's the prince of the air. He's got other devils that's with him, those fallen angels that's working with him. He can't be everywhere at one time. God's the only one that can be there. So he said the armor that we're to take, we're to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the tricks or the methods of the devil. You know everything that you need to know about the devil's in this Bible. You don't need to go outside this Bible studying the devil. Everything God wants us to know. He wants us to know he's a roaring lion. He wants us to know that he don't know everything. If we'll learn how to handle the real thing, then when the bad thing comes, the devil, then we can handle him. If we'll draw nigh to God, resist the devil. Most of the time, though, we're not resisting the devil and his forces. But the first place, we miss it by not drawing nigh to God. A lot of people try to resist him in their own power. There again, we're going to fail. We need to draw nigh to God and then resist the devil. And I'm getting home. A third and last thing, the enemy that we face there in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Said this little boy and his mother was walking along a path one evening, and a storm began to brew. As they walked, the clouds began to form, and the rain began to fall, and the wind began to blow the trees about violently. Said the little boy looked up and saw the trees bending and groaning under the force of the wind. And the little boy looked at his mother and asked, why don't we take away the trees so the wind don't blow? You know, we may smile at that instance of that little boy and what he thinks about the trees, that the trees is the source of the wind. Yet the same mistake is often made by philosophers and psychiatrists and politicians and even Christians today, that the people out here are the ones that causes the problem. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The wind of the devil is not caused by the people that we face and we come into contact with. Isolating ourselves from those kind of people is not going to do away with our problem. The problem's the devil. The problem's not these people with that we see that are weird looking sometimes. These people that are doing these things, that killing people and all this, they're not our problem. It's the devil that's our problem. The prince and power of the air. The prince and power of the air. What about all this stuff that's coming through the airways, on our television, on the internet, and all these things that we're seeing take place today? It's not the people that's causing this problem. It's the devil. It's the prince and power of the air. He's the enemy. It's not those people. They're just doing what comes natural to them. They're walking after the flesh. They're walking and they're giving in to the devil and his forces and the powers of darkness today. Obviously, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Why are their deeds evil? Because the devil's working. He's not chained up. Hey, he's got free course in the airways today. That's why we're in such turmoil. That's why Christians are failing today, because they've not put on the whole armor of God, and because they don't realize the forces that we're battling against is a spiritual. Hey, if God would take off the blinders, it'd probably scare us to death to see the spirit world. Spirit world's real, friend. There's devils out there. You can sense them sometimes. I might have told you this. I preached on the devil one time at Zion Hill. And I went home that night, and during the night sometime, I woke up and I could feel the forces of darkness. So what'd you do? I began to pray. Boy, the peace of God come over my life, over my heart. I wasn't afraid because I knew who was keeping me. Hey, I knew the greater power. I knew the greater light. And it went away. The devil always stick his head up. He's our enemy. He's the one we're battling. I think I've already told you this, but Dave preached on devils one night up there. In the end of service, we was about out of there. And some kids back there in the back, they've just been kids. I mean, they were just talking. You know, we were 2 minutes, Brother Allen, we'd have been out of that service. And me and my choir leader was up on the platform. I'm standing here, I'm looking at everything that's going on. I'm the pastor. If it needs to be dealt with, I'll deal with it. But the devil got in there. My song leader, he took off down that platform. He went back there. He said, you kids need to listen and pay attention. He said, we're talking about some serious stuff. We're talking about the devil. And I thought, yeah, and he done got in you. Here's grandmother and granddad back there. Here's daddy back here. And I see their faces flush. And I thought, man, the devil showed up. He done showed up and showed out. He done used an individual. Now he got out from under his umbrella. I was standing there beside him. If it needed dealt with, I'd have dealt with it. It was okay. We was fixing to get out of there. I'm not condoning talking and cutting up, and people ought to be listening, but I'm going to tell you, if something needs to be dealt with, it's the pastor's responsibility. And if I'd seen the need to call them down, I'd have called them down. I got a little grit. You might not think I do, but I got some grit. Every once in a while. But that's the way the devil works. He used Eve to bring about the fall of man. She got out from under her umbrella of protection. She got out from under her head. Ladies, listen. You better stay under your head. You say, well, my husband just don't know enough. I know more than he does. Well, that's side point. He's still your head. And Paul is dealing with all this when he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he tells where the problem's at. He's already told them in chapter 5, submit yourselves one to another. So you get out from under your head. We're in spiritual warfare. The battle's raging today. We need to stay close to God. Put on the whole armor of God. He gives the armor on down through there. We'll cover that another Sunday. But redeeming the time in your warfare. Let me tell you. You need to get in that book. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Things will work out. Lord, we sure do thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here today. We thank you for everyone's kind attention. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you. The Word of God that gives us these great truths, Lord, of what we're facing as individuals, as believers. Lord, I pray that you'll help each and every one here today. Lord, I pray that we'll be strengthened through the preaching and through the Word of God and teaching. Lord, if there's one here lost today that don't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you deal with their hearts. Lord, I pray they'll get born again before they leave this place. Lord, be with those that's listening by way of internet. Lord, if there's anyone out there that's lost and don't know you as their Savior, Lord, touch their heart and draw them to you. Lord, they'll trust you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name.